Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Hey, it's that time of the week when we try to bring you some of Western Pennsylvania's contributions to the great game of football. This week, our subject is one of the most revered quarterbacks in NFL history, Johnny Unitas, from Western Pennsylvania, and his rags-to-riches story. We have the story of this legend in his bio coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have a great look back in history today, looking through that portal of positive football history at one of the great superstars of any era of professional football, and that's Johnny Unitas, another great product of Western Pennsylvania. And we have his biography today of the great Hall of Famer. We're going to get into that, his rags-to-riches story. Now, it's quite ironic that when we look at the history of some of the top players in the NFL has ever seen, that we find so much negativity and rejection by so-called experts, especially in regards to the talent level and how successful a player is projected to be. Well, that definitely is the case, but Johnny Unitas may just be the standard when it comes from overcoming the naysayers to becoming something really special. And it all started when Unitas showed up at his local high school's coach for a tryout for the position of quarterback. The coach looked at young Johnny with an inquisitive eye, one of those ones where the eyebrow goes way up into the forehead and the other one maybe drops down to your chin. As the lad stood darn near 6 foot tall, but only packed on about 145 pounds on a very lanky frame. So a very thin, I guess you could call him almost a toothpick type of style of body. And didn't look very athletic. And coach looked at him and said, boy, I wonder what this guy's gonna do. Well, Johnny Unitas was born on May 7, 1933, and he grew up in a working class section of Pittsburgh. Growing up in a single-parent household, as his Lithuanian-born mother, Helen, raised four children by herself, supporting them by working two jobs because the children's father had died when Johnny was only 5 years old and sort of left the family, as many cases when a single-parent family, especially back in that era, there wasn't a whole lot of government help or anything else that could help, and mother had to go to work and do that. So the children often had to fend for themselves a little bit while mom was at work, and I think money was tight in the Unitas household, and so they didn't get a lot of the luxuries and special things that some of the other children may have got at that age. But they learned how to have hard work, stick together, and be perseverant and get things done. And Johnny definitely learned those traits and it helped him out later in life. Johnny was determined to play football, even though the coaching staff relegated him to a backup running back after that famous tryout we just talked about a few minutes ago, and spot duty as an end at the St. Justin's, a small Catholic high school in the Steel City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Unitas played these positions with heart, never relinquishing his dream of playing under center. That is, until he replaced with an opportunity when the starting quarterback was injured, and he replaced him during the game early in his junior year. And Johnny did well at QB too, because as a senior the next year, he drew some interest from colleges. Well, rejection followed suit again, and the doubts of Johnny's ability to play football as both Indiana and Notre Dame passed on giving him a scholarship offer, feeling he might just be a little bit too slight in stature to be able to handle the rigors of collegiate football in Division I. really didn't seem like anyone was interested in having him play football for their school on scholarship. Well, he did get a little bit of a sniff from his hometown University of Pittsburgh as they sent him an official offer, but Johnny had trouble passing the entrance exam. And his family was just too poor to pay the tuition, so Johnny settled in his mind that he would have to enter into the working world to make ends meet and make something of himself, to establish a craft to do to support his family. At long last, Johnny caught a break when the University of Louisville invited the youngster to try out for football. Unitas so much impressed the coaches at this tryout that his skill, talent, and determination that a solid offer came from Louisville, and Unitas promptly accepted a scholarship from the school. As a freshman, he became a starter in the sixth game when opportunity arose, and he led the Cardinals to four late season victories. The Cardinal signal caller made a concerted effort to gain some girth and gained about 40 pounds while in school. In these first two college seasons, Unitas threw for 21 touchdowns and also played a little bit of safety on defense. But fortunately, injuries and subpar teams plagued his junior and senior seasons as he finished his college career with just 27 touchdowns, adding only six in his final 2 years, and had 3,139 yards passing as a collegiate career. Now, that didn't really get the ire of the NFL teams or any other professional football league up in high demand to have one Johnny Unitas on their team. But the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted Unitas in the ninth round of the 1955 NFL draft. And this was his hometown team. So the excitement that had to be filled in Johnny's head and his family and friends, having him come back home to play a professional football with his team from his own hometown, that had to be something special. But the Steelers were not very good back then and never really gave Johnny U any chance or credence to really make the team, as he was labeled the four-string quarterback and they were only going to be keeping three at that time. Now, a quote from Art Rooney Jr. says, "Well, they had four quarterbacks," he says, quote, according to a 2002 Pittsburgh Post-Gazette article where they interviewed Art Rooney Jr. He said, quote, "Jimmy Finks, Ted Marchabrota, and a kid named Vic Eaton, and Unitas, who was a local hero. By the time they went through the drills, Unitas wouldn't get a chance to perform. Never gotten in an exhibition game either," end quote. Johnny Unitas himself told Sports Illustrated in a 1957 interview that, quote, "I passed for three or four touchdowns in scrimmage, and I got away on a couple of 30-yard runs, but they really never let me play in exhibitions," unquote. Not all of the Rooney family felt that Johnny was not worthy of a roster spot. According to reports, Art Rooney Sr.'s 18-year-old son, Tim Rooney, wrote an 11-page letter begging his father to keep Unitas on the roster. It was all for naught, though, as the Steelers released the young QB just a few weeks before the season started. Well, dejected, Johnny wanted to keep his dream alive. He ended up having to go to work to earn a living. By this time, he was married and had a small child at home, so he had to make some money. And so he worked a job doing some manual labor. But at night, he wanted to keep that dream alive, so he played a little bit of semi-pro and sandlot football in the area, sometimes just for the meager wage of just $6 per game, playing for the Bloomfield Rams in the local Pittsburgh area. In 1956, Paul Brown of the Cleveland Browns and the front office personnel of the Baltimore Colts started to show a little bit of interest in signing the young arm. It was sort of a both ends of the spectrum in the NFL. The Browns were the cream of the crop at that time, while the Colts, they just couldn't seem to find a victory. They were pretty much dreadful. But Baltimore would end up getting the rights to Johnny Unitas for a sum of about 80 cents, which is the cost of a long-distance phone call from Maryland to Pittsburgh, and the Colts got their man in pretty much on the cheap. What a great investment of time and energy it was, as Unitas went on to set multiple National Football League records at the time, and it was named the most valuable player in three different seasons, 1959, 1964, 1967. In addition to receiving 10 Pro Bowls and 5 first-team All-Pro honors as an NFL veteran, and he helped lead the Colts to 4 championship titles. three before the merger in the Super Bowl era, 1958, 1959, 1968, and one in the Super Bowl era when he won Super Bowl V with the club. They also lost some championship titles too, including Super Bowl III when the famous New York Jets, Baltimore Colts. Now, Johnny didn't start that game, but he did play in it and was on that squad. His first championship victory is regarded as one of the league's greatest games. He's credited helping popularize the NFL in that greatest game ever played, 1958 championship game. And between 1956 and 1960, he set the record for the most consecutive games with a touchdown pass at 47, which held on for 52 seasons until somebody finally broke it. And Johnny Unitas was enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1979, just to complete all the honors and accolades of this great champion. And you know, he was had some other things that were tremendous. Like, he was the first, I believe, NFL player to make six figures. He went over the $100,000 mark for a season. And truly a value to his team, the quarterback of that era, of the late 50s and early 60s. Just a tremendous player, Johnny Unitas, a man with a golden arm, and there's still awards in college game that are, in respect to Johnny Unitas, the Johnny Unitas Arm Award and the Golden Arm Award. Those are both dedicated to Johnny Unitas for his great play and just a truly special player. And we're glad that we got to talk about this and another great product of Western Pennsylvania. And it's just too bad the Steelers weren't smart enough to see how good he really was and to keep him on the roster. Maybe they would have got a little bit better sooner than having to wait until the 1970s era. But hey, it's all good, and I'm sure the Baltimore Colts got to enjoy so many great years of having Johnny Unitas as their signal caller. And we hope you enjoyed this little bit tidbit on one of the Hall of Fame players and legends of the game, Johnny Unitas. And we hope you'll join us each and every day because we bring you some great football history here on Pigskin Dispatch. And till tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's fourth and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans, this is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.